I appreciate so much the motto of ABC, because life is for service. I like that because it's true. Life, indeed, is for service. And I'm excited about your theme this year, servants to the church. I love the church. God loves the church. Do you know, not only did he die for individuals, but in Acts chapter 20, as Paul encourages the Ephesian elders, he encourages them to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. God purchased the church. He loves the church, and I'm committed to the local church, and I'm thankful that ABC is committed to the local church and to developing you guys as servants to the local church. Whether you go into full-time ministry or not, you're to be a servant to the church. Amen? That's central to God's heart and plan for evangelism and discipleship, the local church. I'm thankful for the years of ministry that I had at Miriam Christian Chapel as a youth pastor, youth and family ministry I was involved with there. It was a healthy church. Pastor Terry was a great man to work with, a good, healthy, growing church for me as a young pastor and for my family. It was great years there. And then God called us up to Michigan, where I'm now a senior pastor, as he said, at Hunters Creek Community Church. And that's been a blessing as well. Both churches have been healthy churches. Churches that have loved us and encouraged us and prayed for us and teachable hearts. And I'm so thankful for that. But, you know, even though things have been good for me in the ministry, and I'm very blessed, it doesn't mean it's always been easy. It's often difficult to minister within a local church. There's challenges. There's decisions to be made. They're not always popular. There's weights that you bear as you minister to people and care for people and see them struggle, and you build into their lives, and they go off and get into sin, and it's just difficult. It's challenging at times, and I'd be lying if I'd say I never felt like giving up. Some days you feel that way in the ministry. Someone has said this, to dwell above with saints, I love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell with saints below, oh, that's another story. I mean, it's difficult sometimes because we're working with people who are just like us in the process of becoming more like Christ, but we're not there yet. And so as we're serving the church, sometimes it gets difficult, sometimes it gets really hard. I've been blessed with some good churches, but not all pastors have been blessed with that. Some face some very difficult circumstances and situations and discouraging things and church splits. Maybe some of you have been involved with churches like that. Maybe your family had to leave a church because of things going on and difficulties, and it's kind of heartbreaking, isn't it, to see that? And so it can be very difficult. Being a servant to the church isn't always easy. Sometimes very, very hard. I've heard some say over the years, oh, if we could just be like the early church. Have you heard that before? Let's be like the early church. And I want to say, have you looked at Revelation 2 and 3 lately? Jesus didn't have a lot of good things to say about those churches. He had affirming things, but there's a lot of things like you've lost your first what? Love. And you followed off of these false teachers, etc. And so, what about 1 and 2 Corinthians? What do you think about that? You want to be part of that church? You know, I'm of Apollos. All these divisions and immorality going on and maybe suing one another. And they were into the showy gifts. And, oh, yeah, I love to pastor that church, right? The early church struggled just like today. They're people just like us. And so being a servant to the church isn't always easy. I've been preaching through 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians this morning. In fact, you could turn your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 as you prepare for that. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is defending his ministry because there were false apostles that had infiltrated the church, false teachers who were leading people to not trust the Apostle Paul and to undermine his integrity and to question his integrity, even accusing him of using the funds that they were collecting for the needy saints in Jerusalem and maybe pocketing some of that. They were questioning Paul's qualifications as an apostle, and they were kind of going with it. They were doubting him. And so throughout the epistle, Paul defends his ministry not for his name's sake, but for their good. Because he was a genuine apostle. And he needed to get them away from the false teachers and to get them back on track. And through this epistle, we just see the heart of a pastor who is aching and struggling with seeing his church that he had spent 2 years planting. And he sent Apollos to them, and he sent Titus to them, and he sent Timothy to them. And in between 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st Corinthians, he's trying to correct attitudes and issues. There's probably what's known as the lost letter or a more severe letter that was written in between 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And he had to discipline them as a loving father, but firmly kind of challenging them. And even in 2nd Corinthians, I got to get you guys back on track. The Corinthian church was not easy to minister to. And Paul, though, loved them through it, and he persevered through it. And so I want to look at some verses this morning, a passage of Scripture in which I see some principles for persevering as a servant of Christ or a servant to the church. In chapter 14, or chapter 4 through chapter 5, both of these chapters, I see 14 principles that I've gleaned out of these chapters that I want to share, not all 14 this morning, but some of them with you this morning, for how to persevere as a servant of Christ. As Paul is sharing his heartaches and these challenges, in the midst of it, I just see these gems here that we can apply to our lives, whether you're going to be a pastor, whether you're going to be a missionary serving the church, or an Awana worker, or a layperson in the church, and right now as you're ministering, there are principles here that we can glean for how to persevere as a servant to the church. The first principle that I see is found in verse 1. And that is this. Remember, it's a privilege. Look with me there. Here Paul says, therefore, and wherever you see a therefore, you need to find out what is what. What is therefore? Because it means there's a context. That's why I like preaching through books of the Bible, because you see the context and you get the flow. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Now, in the context, if you go back to chapter 3, and you look at, for example, verse 6, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. I think in the context, Paul is talking about the fact that God had called him and Apollos and Titus and others to be ministers of the New Testament, or another way you could translate it is of the New Covenant. And I think he's referring back to Jeremiah 31, where God promised that his Spirit would come and work in a very unique way and write God's laws on their hearts. And it was the Spirit, the ministry of the church age, the dispensation of the church age, in which the Spirit of God would come and convict people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And when they trust him, come to live within them and develop righteousness in their lives. So he calls it a ministry of righteousness in verse 9. And so in the context, Paul is talking about this being ministers of the new covenant that's tied in with Christ and the gospel message and the work of the Spirit. And he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, he includes the idea, we've received mercy. And when he says we, he's thinking about him and Titus and Timothy, Apollos, those who were servants to the church. He says, since we've received mercy, and you think of the Apostle Paul persecuting Christians, hating Christians, kind of like this guy that shot all these students. You know, that was the Apostle Paul before God met with him in the road to Damascus, and he came to trust in Jesus Christ as a Savior. And God mercifully called Paul to be an apostle to the church, and an undeserving man as he was. And Paul knew that. And so Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't give up. Literally in the Greek, it means we don't lose heart. We don't stop going. We keep on going, even in the midst of difficulties and challenges and false apostles undermining our ministry, someone coming at us, giving us difficult times. Paul says, I have a privilege. It's a privilege to be a minister of the new covenant. Would you agree with me? A great, great privilege. Has God not shown mercy to you and to me? Withholding what we really deserve, that's mercy. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. We're recipients of his mercy, his grace. God's given us a privileged ministry of ministering the gospel and the Spirit of God at work. That's a privilege, wouldn't you agree? As you're going through difficulties, remember it's a privilege. I remember down in Miriam Christian Chapel working with teens, they didn't always appreciate some of the things I challenged them with. In terms of their relationship with their parents, their attitudes, their behavior. And there was one young man, I was trying to pour into his life and to love him, but to kind of be a firm dad to him too and challenge him. I remember walking in, we didn't leave the doors locked at that time, still out in the area of Indiana that we were, but our offices were locked. But I remember walking in and my office door was broken. And I walked in and there were things taken and stolen, and the place was a mess. I come to find out later on it was this young man who had broken into my office because he was angry with some of the things I was telling him that he needed to hear. You know, that's discouraging. Here you are pouring your life into somebody, and they turn on you, and they do something like that, and you think, what am I doing this for? This is discouraging. You know, as you serve the church, you're going to meet those times, those difficulties where maybe people turn on you and they're not coming along like you'd like to see them come along. And it's challenging. It's difficult, just like the Apostle Paul as he ached over the Corinthian church and things that he saw there. And then I remember a number of years ago at Hunters Creek Community Church, one of the one of the men started coming to our church, him and his wife. And he was very reformed in his theology. And so he was trying to push it on me and also saying, you know, you're not preaching the gospel. People in your church probably aren't even saved. And he's just really turning on me. And he says, you know, there's like 19 churches in Lapeer County that are going through church splits, and I'm going to make Hunters Creek the next one. Oh, wonderful. I love this servant to the church thing. Well, he didn't split our church. He didn't even come close. And he left. And we asked him to leave. Our deacons, our elders, we asked him to leave, and he did. He didn't get anywhere. Things like that can be discouraging, and it's in those times you need to remember it's what? It's a privilege. I'm a minister of the new covenant. I got a ministry. God's shown me mercy I don't deserve, so I'm going to keep on going. All right. Let's look at another principle here. Do it with integrity. Verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, some of the false apostles were accusing Paul of dishonest things, which were absolutely not true, and that comes out later in the epistle. Paul wanted them to know that he had renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. He wasn't walking in craftiness and trickery, and he wasn't handling the word of God deceitfully, but he was seeking to rightly divide the word of truth, and we need to be committed to rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? I remember hearing about a year ago, I heard there was a family that was moving back into the area. They'd been living in Ohio. And he was telling me how he had left a church that he had been going to for quite some time. He liked the church. He liked the preaching. But one day he kind of noticed something about the message that the message kind of sounded like something else he had heard. He started doing some research. Come to find out that this guy for several years had been basically downloading John MacArthur's sermons and preaching them word for word, and even the prayer was the same. Don't do that. Whoever it is, Don't take somebody and preach it like it's yours. To me, that's not doing it with what? That's not with integrity. He says, by manifestation of the truth. That's what integrity is. Manifesting the truth. And doing it with integrity and honesty. And he wasn't doing that. How many of you know of Kent Hovind? He actually just got out of prison, I think, this summer. He's in jail for 10 years. Before he went to jail, I took some people from our church to go hear him. He was known as Dr. Dino. He was a young earth creationist, had some great things to say. But what he was doing was not, through his ministry, he was not paying taxes properly. And he ended up going to prison for 10 years for tax evasion. That's not doing it with integrity. You're not going to persevere as a servant of Christ. This guy was not able to persevere and keep ministering and using the knowledge and abilities that he has because he ended up in prison because he wasn't doing it with integrity. Young people, college age, do it with what? Integrity. When you minister to kids, be careful. It's really easy to get kids to trust Jesus as their Savior, isn't it? Oh, we had 8 kids in Awana tonight. Trust Jesus. You know, you kind of promise them some candy, some their little trickery there. Just, you know, just take advantage of their easy believeness, and you take advantage of that. Don't do that. That's not ministering with integrity. Let the gospel work in their hearts. Make sure they understand it. Proverbs 10:9 says, the man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. Factor in your adversary. Do we have an adversary? We sure do. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And Paul talks about that here in verses 3 and 4. He says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That word hid could be translated veiled, and it relates back to what Paul was talking about back in chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, where he's talking about the law and Moses being read to the people and the truth of the gospel. He says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, in other words, when Israel turns to the Lord, the veil is going to be taken away. So I think in the context, he especially has the Jewish people in mind. There was a veil. They weren't able to see and understand and appreciate and accept the new covenant truths that related to Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, who's that referring to? Satan. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now I want us to notice the order here. It's he blinds those who believe not. The believing not is what comes before his blinding. In other words, he builds on their thinking and helps blind them because they don't believe. It's not that Satan prevents them totally from believing, but he works along with that. And he takes their unbelief and he just kind of blinds their eyes, you know, as we minister the gospel and the truth. Some people are just not going to get it. They're not going to believe, and Satan's going to work with that and blind their minds. And it's like, why can't they see it? Why can't they believe? I'm still amazed how people just accept evolution and millions of years and no God, no creator. Because to me, it just seems obvious. It just seems obvious. We have a creator and a maker and a young earth and all of that. But Satan is at work. I don't know if you've read the book This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti. It came out years ago. It's a fictional book. It talks about a small town in which this church is trying to minister, but Satan and his demons were at work, and it kind of takes away the veil and makes you maybe look behind the scenes and think about the spiritual warfare. I don't know if that's how it happens. And I could build lots of theology just on that book, because that's a fiction, but it does make you think we are in a spiritual warfare. And Satan's at work, and we need to factor in our enemy if we're going to persevere as a servant to the church and remember that he is at work. I want to hit another point here, keep the focus on Christ. Verses 5 and 6, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Whose servants? The Corinthian church. Servants to the what? To the church. We preach not ourselves. We're not promoting ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What did John the Baptist say when the disciples were all worried that, hey, this one you're preaching about, everybody's going after him. They're starting to follow him. What did John the Baptist say? He must what? Increase. I must decrease. As we minister the gospel, as we minister wherever we're ministering to the local church, it's not about us. Amen? It's not making a name for ourselves like they did with the Tower of Babel. You know, that's one of the main issues going on. They were seeking to make a name for themselves. I know of pastors that are jealous for their pulpit. And if their associate pastors preach a good message and people, you know, come up to the pastor after he gets back and they say, man, he preached a great message. They're like jealous. Because, you know, maybe they're going to like me. Them more than me. I don't care. I'm glad that Christ is preached, and if they love the message, I say amen. I got a deep bench, and I want that. But not every pastor likes that. Some speaker comes in, and they're all excited about it, and, you know, he's kind of jealous. Don't do that. It's not about making our name. You know, there's a lot of big churches out there and big names. But Jonathan, my son, was just visiting Chicago and got in contact with Pastor Jeff Bauer, who was from Miriam Christian Chapel, and I took some teens there, and he didn't even know that. And he says, when he got there, he says, do you know Jim Lorch? He says, well, kind of. He's my dad. Jeff Bauer has been ministering faithfully in inner city Chicago, and Jonathan said there was about 25 people there. Jeff Bauer is not ministering to make a name for himself. Would you agree? He's there ministering to make a name for who? Jesus Christ. 25, 30 people, whatever they're there, he is there. God called him there. It's not about making a name for himself. And so if we're going to persevere as a servant to the church, we need to keep the focus on Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, some great principles here for us as servants to the church. Help us to be faithful servants to the church. Help us to take these principles and to put them into practice and to use them in our lives, O Lord. God, help us to keep the focus on Christ, you know, to remember it's a privilege, to do it with integrity, to factor in our adversary, all of these things, God, and more. God, it gets difficult sometimes to minister to a local church, to minister to your church with fallen people and who are struggling. But God, help us to be committed, to keep on going, and to not lose heart and to not faint and not stop. For your glory and your honor, we pray in Jesus' name. All God's people said.